Welcome to a special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the weekly update where we examine the latest headlines from all across the world to keep you informed about issues that affect your faith. Stay aware, stay informed. It's the special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our broadcast for Friday, as to follow what is going on with the state of Israel. It's been 4 weeks of war. With me today, our dear friend, hello, brother Paul Sutcliffe. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Enjoying a snowy morning.
Snowy morning. Well, it was so cold here. It was in the 20s. I thought it was going to snow, but it did not snow. Brother Paul, in the last 2 weeks, we start hearing the media talking about the chant, which the Muslims around the world are repeating, which actually show me that their level of knowledge concerning the teaching of the Quran and the teaching of the Bible is very poor. I can say they are so ignorant about what Allah said in the Quran and what God Almighty said in the Bible concerning the size of the promised land. The chant was, from the river to the sea, Palestine would be set free. And I would like to play this video here where my senator, Senator Holly from the state of Missouri, but Mr. Mayorkas, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, in the corner. So let us first listen to the interaction between Senator Holly and Mr. Mayorkas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Mayorkas, let me start with you. You're familiar with the chant, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. You familiar with that?
I am.
Do you know what it means?
I do.
Can you explain it to us?
Senator, that is a chant that speaks of Palestinian desire for its homeland and a very expansive definition of its homeland at the expense of the independence of Israel.
Well, indeed. I mean, it calls for the elimination of Israel, does it not?
It does.
So my question to you is, should students who are here on a visa, who gather and chant that slogan and actively advocate for the elimination of Israel and attacks on Jewish individuals, whether in the Middle East or here in the United States, as we're seeing on college campuses, should those students have their visas revoked?
Senator, I believe you are referencing a provision in the Immigration and Nationality Act about which you have written to me, and I am very familiar with your assertion that that statutory provision requires the revocation of their visa.
But should they have their visas revoked? I'm asking you.
We are assessing your legal assertion. It is a matter of legal interpretation of the statute.
Well, just as a moral matter, I mean, should students who are here, foreigners who are here in this country, accessing our university system and advocating for the killing of Jews, should they be allowed to stay here at our leisure?
Senator, it is a matter of law. And it requires a legal interpretation, and I am not in a position to provide that legal interpretation. And let me add something.
Wait. My time is very limited. I have to say, I think your answer is disappointing, but let me ask you something else. Let me ask you about people who say other things. What about people who say things like, on October the 7th, Israel, I'm cleaning up the language here, are you ready for your downfall? People who say things like, may your conscience haunt your dreams until your last breath. Palestine will be free one day. This is pretty extreme rhetoric, don't you think?
Senator, I do, and I think there is a distinction between espousing or endorsing terrorist ideology and speech that is odious, that does not rise to that level.
Fair enough. This person works for you. This is Nuja Ali, an employee of the Department of Homeland Security, who posted these comments on October the 7th. That's not all she posted. Mr. Secretary, what's going on here? Is this typical of people who work at DHS? This is an asylum and immigration officer who is posting these, frankly, pro-genocidal slogans and images on the day that Israelis are being slaughtered in their beds. What have you done about this?
Four things I'd like to say to you. Number one, your question to suggest that that is emblematic of the men and women of the Department of Homeland Security is despicable.
What have you done? This person works for the Department of Homeland Security. Have you fired her?
That was one of four answers.
Have you fired her?
One.
Have you fired her? Don't come to this hearing room when Israel has been invaded and Jewish students are barricaded in libraries in this country and cannot be escorted out because they are threatened for their lives. You have employees who are celebrating genocide and you are saying it's despicable for me to ask the question? Has she been fired? Has she been fired?
Because I will not
like an answer, would you?
Because I will not be given the opportunity.
Has she been fired?
So
why has she not been fired?
Number two. The individual was hired in 2019.
Why has she not been fired?
Number three, I cannot speak to an ongoing personnel matter.
Why has this person not been fired? Your answer is you can't speak to it? This isn't sufficient to fire her?
I am not in a position to speak to an ongoing personnel matter.
This isn't sufficient to fire her? That's what you're telling me?
That is not what I'm saying.
But she's still on your payroll as we sit here today.
That is not what I'm saying.
She's still on your payroll as we sit here today.
Senator?
How many cases? She was an asylum and immigration officer. How many cases did she adjudicate?
Senator, I'm not in a position to speak about an ongoing personnel.
I'm not asking about that. I'm asking you how many cases she adjudicated.
My answer remains.
Did she adjudicate any cases involving Israelis seeking asylum in this country?
Same answer.
So I think the American people deserve to know, has she admitted, contrary to law, individuals who should not be in this country, or denied Jewish refugees, whose genocide she's advocating, asylum that they deserve?
Same answer.
Quite frankly, Mr. Secretary, I think that your performance is despicable. And I think the fact that you are not willing to provide answers to this committee is absolutely atrocious.
I want to concentrate today on the chant which Muslims have been shouting all over the world. From the river to the sea. What they're talking about? Once again, they're talking about the Jordan River, which is in the east side of Israel, and the Mediterranean Sea. It's a small, tiny piece of land. But I want to catch our dear audience's attention to the promise of God to Abraham, which took place roughly around 3,800 years ago, concerning the actual size of the promised land. So would you please, Brother Paul, read to us what is written in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18.
In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto your seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates.
So if you got to not understand what is the river of Egypt, that is the Nile. What about the river of Euphrates? That is in Iraq. So the promise of God is not from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, but the promise of God from which we come up with the promised land, it is from the river of Euphrates in Iraq till the river of Nile in Egypt. That is a lot more land than the Muslims will even think or dream that this is the true promise of God to Abraham. That is the borders of the promised land. So Okay. Obviously the Homeland Security, and I guarantee you the FBI and the CIA, are loaded with such Muslims, jihadi Muslims, who hate not Israel, listen carefully, who hate the Jews. That is the Jewish of Middle East, the Jewish of Russia, the Jewish of Canada, the Jewish of Australia, the Jewish of America, the Jewish of planet Earth. And we already talked about that in our previous Friday's broadcast. I don't want to have to repeat myself. The hatred is in their belief, in their ideology. It is in the word of Allah in the Quran, and it is in the command of Muhammad in the Hadith. But what I would like to emphasize on for our broadcast today, it is also the hatred of every non-Muslim believer. They start with the Jews, and then they're going to move to the Christians, and then they're going to move to the gay and lesbians. And if Muslims will have their way, and if Muslims will have the upper hand, they will be annihilating any and every man and woman who will not submit to Islam. Not because you some Dakdok said so, but because Muhammad, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, said so. He stated, I have been commanded by Allah to engage in war not just against the Jews, not just against the Christians, but against people. Which people? All the people of the earth. Until when, Muhammad? He said, until they testify to the fact that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Until the people of the earth convert to Islam, Muslims will continue to engage in war with them. And once again, they hate Israel simply because it is a small devil, and they hate America because America is the great Satan.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
So maybe we should start by going to Maryland.
So we have Mahmoud Abdel Hadi, the Imam of Maryam Islamic Center in Ellicott City, Maryland. This Imam, on October 21st, that eventually the Muslims and the people oppressed by Western countries will be the ones in control of things. He explained that this is because we are greater in number, and the ways Muslims have children, they will be in the majority because the Europeans are in minor. And said that the October 7 Hamas attacks against Israel were a great victory.
Sure. But you see what's happening here. The man is speaking truth. If you want to know what the Muslims really believe, listen to such leaders like that Imam, because it's reality. The number of Muslims is growing everywhere you go around the world. And they grow with their ideology, they grow with their beliefs, their hatred to every non-Muslim, especially the Jews and the Christians. And that's when Muslims will be able to accomplish their goal, to take over the whole world. Muhammad told them, by your number, I will invade the world. So let's move on from Maryland to two cases about Mr. O'Biden.
Well, the U.S. pushed Israel to restore communications in Gaza after it shut off the internet on Friday night as the IDF launched its first stage of its ground incursion into the enclave. The WashPo reported that an official told them that Israel did not give a reason for shutting off communications. The official then said, well, we made it clear that it had to be turned back on. The U.S. official tells the Post that the communications were restored and to stay back on.
Brother Paul, you really want a reason why Israel cut the communication in their land? Maybe to protect themselves. This could be a very reasonable reason for shutting down communication in the land of Israel. Well, that is the first case. What about the second case?
Well, this gets worse. Biden is reportedly not happy after photos have been seen of Israel arming its citizens with rifles. He threatened to stop sending arms shipments to Israel because they are arming the citizens. But you know what? Isn't this the same president that applauded the Ukraine arming its citizens? It's okay to Ukraine to arm their citizens to shoot Russians, but it's not okay for the Israelites to arm themselves to shoot a group that's advanced and killed them.
What does Mr. O'Biden think? Israel is New York, or maybe Israel is California? a liberal state for people to be without any weapons, and just the bad guys have the weapon and they can wipe them out as if they are sitting ducks?
Makes Biden appear as an anti-Semite. That's the only answer I can give.
He's holding the stick in the middle, man. On one hand, he's pretending to be supporting Israel. On the other hand, he's pretending to support the Palestinians. And that is what he's been doing for the last few weeks. And I know for sure he's tithing the support to Israel to the support of Ukraine, as if Ukraine is our ally. Hello, Mr. O'Biden. Ukraine is not our ally. Israel is. Israel needs our help right now. Ukraine does not. All right. Well, let's move on from O'Biden to the Muslim population. What do Muslims in America really think about the situation in hand?
Well, Singal did a survey that found that 57% of American Muslims agree that Hamas was justified in attacking Israel and killing those.
Okay, 57%. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that is the accurate number?
No, because they're allowed to lie and encouraged to lie.
Well, let's move on to France, Brother Paul. What's going on in France?
October 31st, a woman who was threatening to blow herself up at the Metro subway station at the height of rush hour, and she was repeatedly yelling, Allah Akbar.
Allahu Akbar, mashallah. Hmm.
The woman was shot by the police in the morning, and, you know, she's still alive. Now, the question is, will the police keep her under arrest or just consider her mentally ill?
Well, to be honest with you, when you shout Allahu Akbar to the people of the West, that is a mark that you are mentally ill. But to the Muslims, that is a shout of victory, which means you are a true 100% good Muslim. Unless you can prove to me that Muhammad was mentally ill and all early Muslim companions of Muhammad were mentally ill, and the Muslims who live on planet Earth the last 1450 years, whoever were involved in any killing who shouted Allahu Akbar are mentally ill. So I don't know. But I don't say Allah is any longer Akbar, means bigger, because I think Allah is becoming Asghar so badly that the people are crying, please, Jewish people, don't be Akbar than Allah, don't be bigger than Allah, let the people of Gaza live. But it's sad. I hate to see the Palestinians going through this turmoil, but at the same time, the Jewish people need to protect themselves. Otherwise, they'll be crushed by the Muslim of Gaza and the Muslim of Lebanon and the Muslim of Jordan and the Muslim of Syria and the Muslim of Iran. There will not be one Jew left alive in the promised land as the Muslims are hoping to accomplish. Well, we have another story in France. What about that good imam in France?
Well, we have an imam of Beaucaire who was arrested at the airport of Marseille for being suspected of glorifying terrorism on social networks. He had called for a fight or jihad against Jews on the social networking platforms, and he was legitimizing the murder by Hamas.
Are you trying to tell me that the French people are going to arrest people for being Muslim believers?
That's what it looks like.
I mean, I'm sorry. This is Islam. You got six pillars in Islam are not worth a nickel. And the seventh pillar is the most important one. You can say the Shahada. You can pray five times a day. You can give zakat. You can fast Ramadan. You can visit Mecca. And you can do propaganda da'wah, which means fighting people to Islam. None of this will make you get to the paradise of Muhammad to enjoy the 72 forever virgins. The only way a Muslim is guaranteed to make it to paradise is to die for the sake of Allah. And you are praising those who are willing to die performing jihad for the sake of Allah. You're going to be kicked out of France? Are you kidding me?
The question is, will they will they arrest her? They probably won't kick her out either. Will she go to the mental ward? Or yes, it's a good question.
Oh, we have to wait and see how the West will react to the Muslim action all over the world. Well, let's move on to Spain. What do we have in Spain, Brother Paul?
This one kind of perfectly follows. Last week, the largest jihadi recruiter in all of Europe was captured in Spain. Again, he was sentenced to 8 years in prison in 2018 for operating a terror network. However, he was released early last year after agreeing to a deal with the prosecutor's office, which basically he confessed to sending fighters to Syria, Libya, and Mali to wage jihad. Now he's been arrested again for the same crime.
maybe Usama Dagdok is right. You cannot change the mind of Muslim jihadi. Putting that man, give him 8 years in prison. He served 4 years, like we always say, they serve half of the time, and they let him go free to commit the same crime. Hello, my dear friends in Spain. Hello, my dear friends on planet Earth. You will not change the heart and the soul and the mind of the Muslim by arresting them and give them some years in your prisons. But the opposite is true. I'm not surprised that that man is not doubling or quadrupling on his belief and his practice of Islam after spending these few years in prison. The problem is in the heart of the Muslims. It's not something to be fixed mentally or by imprisonment. Amen to that, Brother Paul.
Amen.
All right, amen. Let's go to Sweden.
We have a Swedish guy who does explosives up in the mountains, Jonathan Royson Lindgren, and Ahmed Ali Youssef, who were recently sentenced to 3 years in prison after taking home explosives and selling them to a foreigner who was also living in Sweden. They had 125 kilos of dynamite, and they sold it to a Turkish citizen, Okan Karpaz, who got 4 years and 9 months in prison.
Wait a minute, why are you so mean about people selling explosive material? Maybe they're going to use it to make some firework, or maybe they're going to use it to catch fish. So why are you making big deal about selling 125 kilograms of explosive material? I mean, come on, Brother Paul, are you serious? You must be a racist, or you must be a Islamophobic to arrest people and throw them in prison for selling some dynamite. What these things are going to use this dynamite for?
Boom.
See, that's exactly what it is. And this is happening in Sweden. What a sad story that Europe are not learning from yesterday. That's why they're going to repeat the same mistakes, which is just a circle of life, the circle of history. You don't learn from yesterday, yesterday will become tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
And that brings us to the end of our broadcast today. Brother Paul, thank you so much for producing this show for us today. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. And my dear, wonderful listeners, thank you for joining us again for another Friday broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of Zabon continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.